Topic 1.17 is to analyse data on energy budgets and diets so as to be able to discuss the consequences of energy imbalance, including weight loss, weight gain and the development of obesity. Our diets need to be balanced. We need to have carbohydrate, protein, lipid, minerals, vitamins, water and fibre. Now, it stands to reason that if input exceeds output, then we're going to become fatter. If output exceeds input, we're going to become thinner. So we need to figure out how we're going to look at input and output. Now, input we can measure using things like national nutritional guidelines, dietary reference values, estimated average intakes, reference nutrient intakes are commonly used in the UK. Guideline daily amount and recommended daily allowance are more American. You can find more information on these sorts of guidelines at sacn.gov.uk. The estimated average intake is an estimate of the average requirement, so 50% of the population will need less than this value of a particular nutrient, and 50% of the population need more. The reference nutrient intakes relate to the estimated average intake. The RNI is the amount of a nutrient that's enough to ensure the needs of nearly all the population, 97.5%, are being met. The LRNI, the low reference nutrient intake, is the amount of nutrient that's enough for only the smallest number of people who have low requirements. That's 2.5%. The majority of the population are going to need more. So our energy mix should come 50% from carbohydrate, 35% from lipid, and 15% from protein. What's actually the case is that we're getting about 45% of our energy from carbohydrate, 14% from protein, and 41% from lipids. So we're getting a lot more energy from lipids than we should be getting. We can measure the nutrient content of food, or the energy content of food, using a bond calorimeter, or also known as a constant volume calorimeter. So it uses a specific heat capacity of water and the amount of energy that you're getting out of effectively burning the sample to utter destruction. 1 kilocalorie is the energy needed to raise a temperature of 1 kilogram of water by 1 degree Celsius. Okay, 1 kilocalorie is, as you might remember, equal to 4.2 kilojoules. The energy content of different foods: fat yields 37 kilojoules per gram, carbohydrate ranges between 15 and 17, glucose is 15 kilojoules per gram, starch is 17 kilojoules per gram. Consider that this is because the starch molecules are able to be stored quite efficiently with respect to space. They're a little denser. Protein would yield 17 kilojoules per gram. Alcohol is very energy rich, 29 kilojoules per gram. Consider whether, Guinness notwithstanding, you're actually getting a lot in the way of other nutrients though, especially vitamins and minerals. Okay, so that's the input there. Now we need to look at the output. And for that we look at the basal metabolic rate, the amount of energy needed to maintain organ functions, not including digestion, and cellular metabolism. Now, the BMR for men and women, they're calculated in different ways, and I don't think you're going to be examined on this at all. If you are asked about BMR, you'll be given the equation. But it does relate your mass in kilograms to your height in centimetres and your age in years. So this means that BMR is going to decrease with age in adults. We don't have the same sort of problem with high muscle mass, but there are similar issues. Athletic people are likely to have a little higher in terms of basal metabolic rate. However, we calculate the physical activity level, the total energy expenditure divided by the basal metabolic rate. Extremely inactive people will have a physical activity level of less than 1.4. Elite athletes will have more than 2.4. Okay, most of us are sitting around about 1.5 to 1.7. Okay, so that's how we measure our output in this case.